Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I ask that you would pray for myself and my wife. Tuesday night, we were invited to a small group of people to meet with Governor Walker. And this is the second time we've met in that atmosphere with the Johnsons. And I don't know why, but I'm hoping somehow, some way that God will move and do something in his life and perhaps the people that are there. When God opens a door, I feel like I need to walk through it. And not that I want to rub elbows with anybody or drop names. It's all about, if you're going to drop a name, I've got a name you can drop. You know, Jesus. Amen. Once a year, the governor and the president, they make a State of the Union address just to let you know, how's the state going? How is the United States going? And I just want to address a little bit of that this morning before I get into the message. I counted this morning that in the last 2 months, there's 37 people who have come to this church. And God adds to the church daily such as should be saved. We're in vacation season and people come and they go because of vacations. And sometimes it looks like there's big holes in the congregation. God told me this. He said, we have a Bible study in our home, the last one we had, and there's some people here as a result of it. There were 20 people in our living room, and God told me, because you have opened your house and filled it with people that you will teach the Word of God, I'm going to fill this church. Yeah. So sometimes we take on all of the responsibility of adding to the church. And we have a responsibility to reach out to people. But ultimately, God will bless who we will bless, not based on our intellect or our programs, but because of who we are and the life that we're living. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And so I appreciate that very much. Also, I talked to somebody this week, and they let me know that I'm retiring in a year. And I was kind of shocked because I didn't know that. But just, you know, I'm only in charge of one department in this church, and that's the rumor department. And I want you to know that I have no intention of retiring in the near future. I feel like I have the strength. Listen, if some of those old geezers can run for president, I think a few more years as the pastor of this church. Now, God can circumvent that at any time, but if you look in the Bible, there are some people who serve God for a long time, and I don't know what I'd do anyway. I don't fish. I can't sit in a cottage because I don't have a cottage. And you know what? This is my life. 27 years, almost 28 years of pastoring this church. And I love this church. I love what I do. It's not a chore. It's a pain every once in a while, but it's not, not a chore. You know, I met with my barber a couple of months ago, and he goes to Florida every winter, actually. And I said, so when are you going to pull the plug? And he's about the same age as I am. And he said, you know, I have never worked a day in my life. I said, really? He said, I don't consider this work. I really enjoy what I'm doing. And when I go down to Florida, I try to find a part-time job cutting hair. Because I really, really love what I'm doing. You know what? If you really love serving God, hallelujah, amen. And I am looking forward to the best is yet to come. I'm looking forward to what God is. I want to be a part of what God is going to do in these end times. And folks, we haven't seen anything yet. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? And we want to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. And
I appreciate Sunday school teachers. Amen. And I'd like you to turn to Luke, the fourth chapter. And if we could keep the screen down this morning, I want to show some scriptures. Luke, the fourth chapter, and this is a very familiar scripture. In verse number 18, Jesus is in the synagogue, and they hand him a book. He's ministering like he normally does. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing, your touch upon the word of God, that it would affect every individual that's here, God, not just lodge in our mind, but travel down to our heart. Change us by your word. Enlighten us and refresh us, God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you'll just turn back to verse number 1 of Luke, the fourth chapter, it's a scenario of Jesus going into the wilderness, and he's fasting and he's praying. And verse number 1, it says, "And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost." Now, could you say full of the Holy Ghost? Are we full of the Holy Ghost here? Okay. So this is really talking about us as much as it is talking about Jesus. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, a place that is dry and a place that is lonely. Have you ever gone to a place that is dry and a place that you felt all alone? "Being 40 days tempted of the devil," ever been there? "And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God," see, it's the doubt. It's the same thing as in the third chapter of Genesis, when the devil said to Eve, "Did God say?" And the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." That's us, folks. "And the devil, taking him into a high mountain, showed unto him all of the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." Now, there's a lot of temptations to receive power and fame and material possessions. And sometimes it takes our focus off of really what the main thing is in our life. "If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written," here's the first time Satan ever quotes scripture, because it's a scripture that he hates the most, "For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee." Psalms 91, that's what he's quoting. "And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And when the devil had ended all temptations, he departed from him for a season. Now I want you to see verse number 14. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit." He went full of the Holy Ghost. But after the temptation, after the conflicts, he returned in the power of the Spirit. You know what caused him to have the power of the Spirit is going through some of the issues that he had to go through, going through the temptation, using the Word of God, and then he comes to the point where he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. It's not just enough to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not just enough in order to worship God and feel the Shekinah glory of God. Sometimes we have to go in the power of the Spirit and have the Spirit of the Lord upon us in order to minister to other people that are around us. This is the only account of a showdown between Jesus and Satan. I know there's been a showdown with those that love God on many occasions within the Bible. It's one kingdom against another. Verse 1 said, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, this dry place, a place that, well, maybe some of you are in today, a lonely place, a sad place. But after the conflict with the devil, he said, he's returning in the power of the Spirit. Jesus went in full, but it came out in power. What caused the release of the power? An encounter with the opposition, the force. And there went out a fame of him throughout the region because of what he went through. Sometimes I wonder, God, why are you allowing things to go through us to go through things in this church? Well, there's a reason, and there's a fame as a result of it. Because the power that was in him was released because of conflict. And whenever we come through a conflict, we too have a greater power released within us. And each time we go through a conflict, more power of God is released within us. You know, sometimes we just don't feel like we have anything to give. But, you know, when we come through and we have a victory, when we see God move in our life to do something supernatural, we become more and more bold in order to do more and more. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and now, Isaiah 6 says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now, what it was speaking of is whenever a king got a victory, they put more fabric on the end of his robe. And every victory, they added more and more and more. And his train filled the temple. Do you know why? Because God gets victory after victory after victory, and his train fills this place because of all of the victories that are sitting in the pews. Case in point, David is challenged by a lion. No problem. He's challenged by a bear. Barehanded, he kills the bear. Hey, what's the problem with this giant? We can take care of him. Do you know why? Because he was endued with power after the lion, and he was endued with power after the bear. And now, hey, come on, come, bring it on. I can handle this situation. Hallelujah. Our Lord's ministry was one challenge after another. You know, you would think that if he wrote the book, there wouldn't be any conflict because his people don't need to have any kind of conflict in his life. And if you're looking for a church, to find a church that always preaches sweet things and God's going to bless you with a new Cadillac next week and there won't ever be a problem, well, you know what? There is a Santa Claus too. Jesus faced sickness and disease head on. And every time he faced a sickness or a disease or even a death, he won the battle. The power of darkness, deception, and wickedness, and he got the victory. After each encounter, he displayed greater and greater power, more and more tenacious against those things that were evil. His greatest challenge was Calvary. Greatest challenge. Our greatest challenge is Calvary as well, putting this flesh to death. And after the victory over death, hell, and the grave, Jesus said in Matthew 28 and 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, he didn't say all power was given to him in heaven and earth when he first arrived on the scene or entered into his ministry. But when he got the victory at Calvary, he's saying, no one, no place has more power than I have. There's nobody else. His greatest victory wasn't over the devil. It was over his own flesh. Not my will, but thy will be done. Hallelujah. There's some things that I have to deal with every week with this flesh, responding to negative things or responding to things that I want to respond to and I can't, because it's not my battle, it's his battle. And that is where we receive the most power in our lives, is resisting conflict. Sometimes we walk into church and we have a lot of conflicts going on, a lot of disappointments, a lot of hurts going on in our life, and there is this showdown between our flesh and ourselves. And it happens all of the time. I've been there, you've been there, and perhaps some are there right now. When you don't want to throw up your hands and praise God, I've been there, you know. You don't see any negativity, or I hope you don't, from this pulpit, because there is no point in that. The point is, I can't change my situation, but there is a God who can change my situation. There are times when I don't want to clap my hands because I'm just not in the mood, but you know what? He deserves every applause that we can possibly give. There are times when perhaps you could stumble over an amen or a hallelujah because you just don't feel deep down that you can hallelujah or amen anything that comes from this pulpit because of some situation that you're going through. There is a power that is resisting us, because the enemy knows that if you can break through in worship, if you can just get your hands up, if you can just clap your hands, there will be a power that will be released to you that will dominate the power or conflict that you have in your life. I know what I'm talking about, because I got to get this flesh in check, and I need the power and release of all of that conflict in my life by simply saying, okay, God, you're bigger than this situation. This little petty thing, and I heard that person say, or this is happening. Oh my God. Why don't you take a walk to Calvary again and see what he went through? All of the accusations that he went through, all of the beatings and all of the false witnesses against him. Judges 1:1 says this, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hands. Judah means praise. So power to overcome the enemy is always released in praise. Judah shall go up. Judah shall fight against the enemy. It is such a simple concept, yet so many people remain powerless because, well, you know what, I just don't know if I feel like it, or I don't know if it's really going to help in order to worship God. You know, we better change our concepts. When we think worship service isn't as valuable as the preaching or the specials or the altar call, there is something wrong with us, because if there is a power that is in this church, it's because people who will worship God, regardless of what their situation is, regardless of what their problem is. I've seen people in terrible situations worshiping God. Glory to God. Some of those situations I've seen in this church. Sister Bidding, the day after her husband died of a heart attack, she's up at the altar worshiping God. I don't worry about her backsliding, because if she could worship after that, Sister Grueling, brother and sister Portman, and the death of their son. I know where the power comes from. I can walk in here full of the Holy Ghost, but when I walk out, I want to be full of the power of the Spirit of God. Isaiah 61, where Jesus is quoting this in Luke 4 and 18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, verse number 3 says, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. As a pastor, I try to comfort people going through many conflicts and many situations, and there are many, many sleepless nights. Whether you understand it or not, I'm praying for you, and I'm taking your problems to my room, just like the prophet did with the Shunammite woman's son who had died. And sometimes it's hard for me to bear some of your situations. It's not just a matter of, okay, preach a little sermon and then go on with life. No, I have invested my life in this congregation. Words and even scripture sometimes seem so inadequate, and I don't see any relief in the eyes or the faces of people who are going through what they're going through, people who have a spirit of heaviness that comes over them. They need a release. And I've been there. I've been to that point where I'm wondering, how can everybody be so happy when I am not happy at this point? I'm almost irritated by everybody else's joy because I'm not experiencing the joy in my life right now. But I know the only way I can get through that spirit of heaviness is somehow get to God to allow Him to release that joy. People who have the spirit of heaviness and sicknesses that they have not been able to shake for a long, long time, or going through the flesh ripping of divorce, overwhelmed by bills or a death in the family. But God tells us He will exchange their heaviness with the garments of praise. It's almost like, you know, we have a high priest that is touched by the feelings of our infirmities, and he sees every little thing and every little emotion. Some of you are very good in hiding your emotions and the problems that you have, but it's almost like God walks right up to you and puts a garment of praise on you that takes care of all of that heaviness and relieves you of that. I can't do it. Nobody in this congregation can do it. But I know that God can do it. Amen. A power and presence of God that will cover them and empower them to overcome and get peace. Amen. Amen. Would you go to Psalms 23? A lot of people read this Psalms at a funeral. In fact, last week, Tuesday, I did a funeral, and somebody read this scripture. It's a great psalm to read at funerals, but I think it's a greater psalm to live by than to die by. Verse 1 of that 23rd psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, a calamity is what it's saying, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's the word of God and the spirit of God that comforts us. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. He doesn't pull us out of our situations, but He gives us the grace and the peace in order to be able to handle the situation. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You're not getting me out of here. I know where my peace comes from. I know where my joy comes from. I know where my power comes from. You see, God wants to trade you. Give me your praise, and I'll take away your heaviness. And what a deal. There will always be challenges in life. The question is, how are we going to react to the challenges? How are we? Amen. Would you turn to 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse number 5. It says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. So this gospel that saves us, the death, burial, and resurrection, it's not just Acts 2 and 38 that saves us, but it's the corresponding power that comes with it, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. Yes, there's affliction, but there's also some joy involved. And, you know, if we were constantly going through afflictions over and over and over again, it'd be hard for us to live for God, but accompanying that affliction is always going to be some joy, according to this scripture. Hallelujah. So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. There is times when there's a power of God that is upon us and people understand, hey, there's something about what is going on in your life. And it's because of the power that has been released to each of us. After Paul went through the challenges of weakness and fear and inadequacy and poor self-esteem, oh yes, he knew it beyond a shadow of a doubt. He had a voice from heaven that called him, and he said, show Paul all the things that he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. And they understood, just like Moses said, who am I? You know, I'm not eloquent in speech. I really don't have anything going for me. I'm not the beautiful specimen of mankind that's going to attract the thousands of people because of my oratory. And God then exchanged all of his weaknesses for a demonstration of power. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter? Verse number 1. I love this scripture. I really do. Because what it does is it puts each and every one of us in the same position that Paul was. It says in verse number 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now let me explain what I'm like. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom. Listen, don't ever get to the place where you evaluate somebody from this pulpit based on their ability to speak or their oration. It has nothing to do with, you know what you ought to base your opinion of what's going on is the demonstration of God's Spirit. When a man can stand up here and weep before God or tremble before God, God's more impressed with that than if he can get three sentences out. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Maybe that's where the power and the demonstration came from, because he recognized, you know what? There's nothing in me that has any kind of value to build the kingdom of God. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. But in the power of God. Amen. People walk into this church all the time, and they're saying to themselves, is this the one, or do I look for another? And Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. When you hear the words that I speak, you should believe me. But if you don't believe me because you see me or the words that I speak, believe me for the very works or the power. When I first walked into a spirit-filled church, I had no clue of what was going on. These people were acting radical as far as my experience in church was. But I recognized there was a power in this place. There was a sincerity. These people, they loved God and they didn't care who knew. They were just going to worship God. And I thought, I don't know about this, but I'm feeling something I have never felt before. I felt the power. I couldn't tell you what was preached. I couldn't tell you if they were right or wrong, but I was going to find out. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Could it be that those things we go through are there to endue us with a greater power, as Jesus had a challenge with his own situation, the devil? Greater testimonies to witness to the unbeliever, which is really God's ultimate goal for each and every one of us. The Bible says that we're saved by our testimonies. The strongest people in here are those who have gotten the victory, and God released more and more power in their lives because of showdowns that they've had in situations, you know. Now, the greatest release of power is when we have an encounter with Jesus Christ. That's where the power is released. That's why it's so important to get to church, folks. You know, I feel like maybe Judas didn't come to all of the services. Maybe that's why he was tempted. Maybe Thomas was doubting because he was supposed to be at a prime service and he didn't show up. What was Thomas doing? And I'm saying, here's where we get the power of God. The more we get into the presence of God, the more power that is released to us, an encounter with God in song service and during the preaching, yes, during the preaching, and at the altar call when God can speak to us and allow us to feel the Shekinah glory of God, it will create a new desire within you and take the old desires out of you and will cause you to overcome wrong desires and failures that you have in your life. There are a lot of people who have determined they're going to do this and they're going to do that. I'm not going to do this any longer. But you know what? They've never gotten the power in order to overcome those things because they want to do it on their own abilities rather than somehow get the sticks up in the air and ask God to endue you with power that can change your desires. I'm here because God changed my desires. I wasn't born a pastor. I wasn't even born a Christian. But something happened to me when I had an encounter with a power that was greater than any other power that I've ever had. Moses had a close encounter with God, and he had to put a veil on his face because his face started to glow, and people got afraid of him because it was so close to God, and their life wasn't right. You know, we scare a lot of people, folks. I mean, we are the normals of this world, but we scare a lot of people because of our encounter with God. They're saying, you know what, just stay away from me. I know, I felt the same way about those people. And now I became one. Amen. We need a fresh oil and a renewing power, a delivery system that gives that to us. And it doesn't just come by reading the Word of God or just praying that canned prayer. Turn to Acts, the 4th chapter, please. I know you get tired of hearing me say, well, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Verse number 10 of that 4th chapter says, be it known unto you and to all of the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now listen, it was God that took this crippled man and caused him to dance and walk. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them. Why? That they had been with Jesus. Are you lacking anything? You know what you do? You got to get with Jesus. Bad reputation? Doesn't matter. Bad past? Doesn't matter. Inadequacies, fear, trembling, doesn't matter. You got to get with Jesus. If you could just get with Jesus for a little while, all of these things, all of the things that you cannot handle on your own, God can give you the power. You can walk in the fullness of the Spirit, but you have to have the fullness of the power of God in order to demonstrate that God is real.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, there are a lot of different versions of Christianity. Anybody know that? There are all kinds of churches. You can hardly go any place without finding another denomination or somebody who shoots off as something else, you know, and everybody perceives that they are right. They all have some scriptural as a basis for what they believe, and a lot of people feel that they are just another version of Christianity, or that we're another version of Christianity, and, well, that's for the wild people who want to demonstrate, but, you know, I don't feel that that's necessary, and so we'll find another version and go to that. Well, we're not another version. We are the version of the upper room. We are apostolics, and we do have full truth. I'm open for new revelation, but I'm not looking for new truth in order to save us, because we have been obedient to the truth that has gotten us to the place. And the validation comes from the power displayed by the church.
Amen.
We can scream it from the rooftops. We're right, we're right. But there has to be a validation.
Amen.
Of the word, a validation that is not available to just anybody that doesn't have full truth.
Amen.
We have to have the validation.
Amen.
So would you turn to Mark, the 16th chapter? Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. These are the very last words of Jesus before he ascends up into heaven. And it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Okay, he's given us a commission that we need to go to all of the world and preach the gospel, but we need something more than just the last words. We need some power. We need something that causes a burning down inside, something that we will recognize that people are lost and they need what we have. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. These words are in red. Jesus saying, these are the signs. If you're still wondering, is this it? These are the signs that will follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents or have power over the devil. And if they drink any deadly thing, if we absorb something through other words of people, every wind of doctrine that's out there, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, or the power, all power is given to him. And they went forth. See, here's the thing. The modern church doesn't always want to go forth. And preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Are you wondering, do we have the thing? We have it because the Lord wants to work with us with signs following. What are you talking about? Big signs, we are the truth? No. Miraculous signs that happened that no man could do this. Hallelujah. Will all those with power please identify themselves? That's what God's saying. Would you let everybody know, I've got power that you can't see. Jesus is living inside of me. We have to demonstrate that we have that power. Power encounters. And if I were to title this message, it would be exactly that. Power encounters. And we all have power encounters. And there are power encounters throughout the Bible that are woven together. Moses and Pharaoh's magicians, power encounters, and Moses won. Samson versus the Philistine, power encounters. That was the Spirit of God that was on Samson that gave him the strength in order to give him the victory. David versus Goliath, we won power encounters because every conflict that he had, he was endued with a greater portion of power in order to get an insurmountable victory. God versus the Red Sea. Red Sea lost. Walls of Jericho versus a bunch of shouting people marching around the walls because they followed the instructions of God specifically. The prophet of Baal, 450 prophets versus one little preacher with a 64-word prayer. And fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. Let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Let the God that shows himself strong on behalf of his people, let him be God and none other. Amen. Let the demonstrations of power decide who is truth and who isn't. Amen. Glory to God. Well, God doesn't do those things anymore. Well, maybe your God doesn't, but our God does. Amen. Amen. Now, according to Jesus' word, he says, these signs will follow us. We don't follow the signs. We're not looking for some place that there's a great demonstration or a bunch of people jumping up in the air because, well, somebody told them to do it. Do you know you can't follow a parked car? It just doesn't work. We must be ready to do what Jesus said. If we want to see unbelievers start praising God, let's have a power encounter with them. Let God show up and show off. He really does want to show up. He bragged about Job, you know. Have you considered my man Job? You know, let's have another challenge, okay? And I don't want to have a congregation of Jobs here, you know, to have another showdown with another conflict. But if you have to, you need to have the power that is going to take you through it and even give you more power than you had before. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I just love those names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked out of the fiery furnace, and suddenly the pagan king makes a decree. They walk out of this furnace, and the only things that are burned up is their bindings, you know, on their arms. They didn't even smell like smoke. There wasn't any singed eyebrows, none of that. And as they walked out of the fiery furnace, because they've gone through a few things before, so they walked in. They didn't have to be thrown in. They walked out, and then the king makes a decree. Anyone talks bad about their God, they'll have to deal with me. I'll make their house like a dung. Read it. What happened? An ungodly king was converted because of a power encounter with three men in a furnace. We all know the story of Daniel in Daniel's lion's den. The king was tricked into making a decree that no one could pray for 30 days to any god because they put a statue of the king Darius, or they would be thrown into the lion's den. It seemed like a reasonable thing. It lifts me up and makes me look good, you see. But then Daniel continued to pray three times a day with his windows open. He didn't try to hide his religion. We as Christians can't go incognito. You know, we're not in camouflage. And he said, I'm not going to hide this thing. My God is more important than that. Paul said, you know what? This thing has not been done in a corner, King Agrippa. You know all about us. You know what the truth is. You see, Daniel was a captive of Judah. And when you're a captive of worship, well, I can't stop worshiping God. Oh, you got problems. I can't stop worshiping. I don't care what the decree is. I don't care what my family says. I don't care what my friend says. I can't stop worshiping. So when Daniel was brought before the king, he said the king was sore displeased with himself because Daniel had an effect on him. Well, I didn't become a part of Daniel's church, but I really liked the way that guy talked, you know? But he couldn't change the law. So Daniel was cast into the lion's den by King Darius. And here's what the king said. Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver. Can you imagine that a pagan has more faith than some Christians? It sounds like Daniel had been talking to the king about his God. The king was close to a conversion, but he needed a power encounter. So let's look at Daniel, the sixth chapter. Daniel 6 and verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Wow. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him in innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Now, the next time you're asking God to come and protect you from somebody's mouth, accusation, do you know what's going to protect you more than anything? Your innocency. I'm not going to say a thing in my defense. And God can send an angel to shut the mouth of anybody. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces ever they came at the bottom of the den. Not a good sight. Then King Darius wrote unto all of the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all of the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Let's make a new decree. Hallelujah. Why? Because of a power encounter. You see, we don't have to worry about those who come against us. Just make sure that we're found innocent, and God will shut the lion's mouth, and let God give you a power demonstration. People have been talking to me for literally months and months, asking me to come to a spirit-filled church. I wasn't going to any church for years. I was involved in building my businesses, And I wasn't interested. Their words didn't mean anything to me. Oh, yeah, that's fine for you. I know you're excited about your religion, but you know what? I don't need it. I don't have any needs in my life right now. I don't. Please go back to where you went. You're really irritating me. But when I showed up, my first service, I had a power encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I felt something I had never felt before. There was a demonstration. There was a release of power from another world. Your story isn't much different than my story is. We all gone through most of the same path. It took a demonstration of the supernatural in order to get our attention. When we felt the physical presence of God for the first time, that was our power encounter. When you got baptized in Jesus' name, that was your power encounter. When you were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues, that was your power encounter. Anyone ever been healed here? That was your power encounter. If people get cold in their soul, it's because it has been too long between power encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to have them. And I would rather voluntarily stand before God and get as much as I possibly can, because I come out of the same Judah as you have, and say, God, I need another power encounter, rather than having to create a situation in my life and where I have to. Jesus walked into the wilderness, a lonely, dry place full of the Holy Ghost. And that could be one of us this morning. He then went through some temptations and got the victory through the word. But then he walked out of that lonely place in the power of the Spirit. Church, we have more power because of what we have gone through than just because of who we are. If the musicians would come, I'd like you to turn to our last scripture in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. First Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12, Peter is saying, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Verse 14 says, If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory, and that word glory means power of praise, for the spirit of power and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Oh, hallelujah. I need another power encounter with God. That's all we need. Counseling will help, but a power encounter will do more than all of the counseling, all of the preaching, somehow, when he touches us and transfers some of that all power in heaven and earth to you, you know what? It changes our desires and gives us a perspective that we've never had before. How many would like a power encounter this morning? Anybody would like to be touched by God this morning? I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you. There's a lot of things that I can't guarantee in this world, but I can guarantee you that God wants to touch you this morning and give you an experience that'll take you to the next experience, that'll overrule any conflict and problems and situations and heaviness of spirit that is in your life. I know he can because he's done it to me over and over again. And I know where to go when I need help from my God. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. You've heard the instruction, not from me, but from God. Please come. Please come.